Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
A couple years ago, I had hernia surgery. They basically take a patch and sew up your intestines so that your stuff doesn't all pop out.
I didn't know you went to medical school.
But the one thing they tell you afterwards is don't lift anything. Don't strain yourself for the first couple of days. And the first day back on my feet, I had to go on a talk show, and it was Andy Cohen's show, Watch What Happens Live. As I was about to walk out and they were calling my name, I see Andy see me, and I hadn't seen Andy. Andy's the host of the show, and I'm walking toward him, and he gets this really like wild, excited look in his eyes, and he starts scampering toward me, and he leapt up on me, and I could feel for the first time since the surgery like a strain and a pull, and ow, and I like made a noise, and he was like, "What's wrong?" And I said, and then of course I had to launch into the whole thing. I said, "Well, Andy, I just had hernia surgery." And so then we ended up talking about it on the show. We had to, and it was live.
At least your stuff didn't come out.
That's true.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
You're listening to Life is Short. I'm your host, Justin Long, and
life could be a dream, sweetheart.
With me, as always, is my hernia-free. Oh, no, you've had a hernia.
I've had two hernias.
What?
You only had one?
Oh, snap. Shit, I feel so inadequate now. Yeah, I only had one.
What? I had two. I had one as a baby. Yeah, as a remember baby, this?
That's right.
I had one as a baby.
That's
right. I don't know how a baby gets a hernia. I still never got to the bottom of that.
You were lifting heavy blocks.
But they told our parents, unbeknownst to me, that when a baby gets a hernia, 20 years later, almost like to clockwork, 20 years later, that baby, then an adult, 20-year-old baby, will get another hernia on the opposite side. It's like nature's way of balancing out.
No kidding.
And sure enough, when I was 20, I got another hernia.
Did you know that your second hernia was coming or like might probably come?
It's very painful, as you know, a hernia.
Yeah,
you feel it coming.
Yeah.
I remember when I got it, I was in a play. I was roughhousing in a play.
We both got hernias from your plays.
God. Oh, my God.
What a lame way to get a hernia.
It says so much about it. But also, every man in our family has had at least one hernia. I think we come from a long line of hernia patients.
Yeah. Hernia-prone
It tells you
men.
Something about our family tree. Yeah. They're like full of weak pelvis men. So why are we talking about hernias today?
Well, because the hernia surgery that we both had, you've had two, one, was performed by a doctor.
Yes.
And our guest.
A surgeon, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Our guest today played a surgeon for 9 years on TV on a little show called Scrubs. Our guest today is Donald Faison.
He's also a dear friend of mine and one of my favorites. And I know that I say that too often.
I'm starting to not believe you.
Oh, well.
No, but I do believe you in this case.
He is. I mean, he really is one of those people that, and it's happened a few times in my life where within minutes. It happened with all of my close friends. Within minutes, you just know that you're going to be friends with somebody.
It's kismet.
Yeah, it's like that scene in Step Brothers where like, did we just become best friends?
You guys worked together two times.
I mean, I've known Donald for years. I want to say close to 20 years, but we didn't work together until we did a play together in San Diego at a great theater called The Old Globe. Really loved doing that play. It was a Steve Martin play called Picasso at the La Panagile. And such a wonderful experience, but and great cast. And the best part, though, was meeting and getting to work with Donald. And then again, we did a movie called The Wave, which we just premiered at a film festival in Austin, which is where we are now. Christian and I are in Austin,
We're
Texas.
Deep in the heart of Austin.
Yeah. What a great city. Oh, my God.
You all know him from Clueless, of course. That was his breakout.
I'm keeping it real.
Keeping it real.
He talks about that.
Yeah.
He talks about that line and the experience of doing that movie. I just rewatched that movie, and it is – I think my understanding of it when I did the interview was a little bit different. It's it's a lot more grounded than I remember. I mean, the dialogue and the acting, it's not as – I remembered it being a little bit more heightened for some reason. Mm-hmm. But I just rewatched it on the plane coming to Austin.
Who else was in the – Jeremy Sisto?
Brecken Meyer. It was strange to see Stacey Dash. Now you know her as like a – she's like a big conservative pundit. But they were all these like fresh-faced actors. Even Wallace Shawn looks young. And he's so it's
and Wallace Shawn's never really looked young.
Dan Hedaya, I know. Dan Hedaya looked young. And Paul Rudd, it's crazy.
Yeah, he's also on a show that just recently premiered a couple days ago called Emergence on ABC.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Emergence and his family, and we're gonna get into all of it with the infectiously charming Donald Faison.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
Do you leave the door open? Because don't you have
to? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You have to leave the door open when you're pooing around
children. That's got to be one of the weirdest things about having kids.
Well, do you remember your mom and dad leaving the door open when they pooed?
Not really.
I remember one of the first times I realized that women's poo stinks.
Tell me we're recording this. But I'm sorry, go on.
It was my mom's poo. And really? I was like, wow, that does not smell good at all.
You remember that?
Oh, absolutely. I remember that. And I remember like this girl I had a crush on. She was a lot older than me. Like she was like in her 20s and I was like 8 or 9. Uh-huh. And I was like, we're boyfriend and girlfriend. And she was like, yeah, sure, whatever, cutie. And she would babysit me, and she took a crap once that was so bad. I remember being like, yo, I don't like her the way I liked her before.
She smells like my mom.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, did you, so you obviously, I was going to say, how'd you meet her? But obviously.
No,
you just,
it was like, she was like a, babysitter. My parents, well, no, my parents did a lot of touring when they were younger through theater. And because of that, they would meet other companies, and this was me hanging out with another theater company, and this young lady was babysitting me from that theater company. And I remember she was like, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm going to take you with me. And I found it strange that I was in the ladies' room.
Uh-huh. Oh, she took you in there.
Inside the thing, and I had to sit and wait,
oh my God, wait.
While she pooed.
Wait a minute. Where were you sitting? Where in
like by the
bathroom?
Sink, you know what I mean? And it was like there were stalls and everything. And I remember being like, this is weird.
Well, your brother, you have an older, your brother's
I have
older.
A younger brother.
Oh, younger? Yeah, he's younger?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's insulting that I said it in that tone, because well, I've met him.
Right, and he looks a lot older than me.
It's
<That's> true. the time has not been good to you, Dade. I'm going to keep it 100.
Yeah. Would he laugh at that? Is he even going to listen
to
this?
No, he gets it all the time.
Oh,
he gets it all
really?
The time. He's like, you know.
My little brother gets that occasionally. Like,
really?
Who's younger?
Really?
And just that is insulting. It's like, you're fucking 3 years.
Yeah, same thing. Three years. Really. Yeah.
But they must just assume that he's older.
Absolutely. He looks
like
way
I
older than I do.
A little Sherman Hemsley, a little bit.
Do you think he does?
Yeah.
No, I get that more than anything.
Oh, really?
I get that I look like George Jefferson.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I remember this dude called me George Jefferson. I was like 12 years old. I was young. He's like, you look like fucking George Jefferson. And then threw a rock at me.
It's a very Archie Bunker thing to do.
Very, very Archie Bunker.
He looked like a little Archie Bunker.
Oh, I wish, right?
It's also weird for you because you're on this. I'm like a stop for you on this circuit of like the
which
circus.
Which is very weird.
You're promoting Emergence.
It's very weird. Yeah. I'm promoting Emergence and I'm promoting The Wave, dude. It's
oh, yeah.
very weird, yeah.
So we did a movie. Well, Christian and I will talk about that, but What's there to say about it? We shot it in Albuquerque, which was
was a lot of fun.
So Don and I have worked together twice in the last couple of years, Albuquerque and San Diego.
And San Diego.
We tore up both of those cities.
Both cities. We tore up San Diego way more than we tore up Albuquerque.
Yeah, we did a play, Picasso the Lepanagio.
Yeah, yeah.
Both of us did it was a Steve Martin play.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we both did it for the same reasons.
To work with each other.
Well, yeah.
That too. And then also because we thought Steve Martin was going to be.
So we both, and we discovered this like a month into the run. We were like,
oh, he's never coming.
So Donald and I both got emails that were like, do you want to do we're doing this play in San Diego, huh? And I think we both had the same reaction, which is like, yeah, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'd like to do a play.
Right.
It'd be really cool, but San Diego, it's kind of...
They were like, Steve Martin's involved, dude. It's going to be amazing, and he's going to be involved. I don't know if you've seen these. He's got plays on Broadway now. It's going to be amazing. He wants this to go to Broadway, and he's going to...
Very hands-on. So I thought, oh, my God, this is a no-brainer. Yeah.
Easy peasy.
I should have prefaced this by saying I'm so glad I did it.
So am I. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Great experience. Really was. But we both, one night out, we were like, can I confide something to you? The reason I wanted to do this was because I thought Steve Martin. So the punchline to this story is that Steve Martin never showed up.
Ever.
And then one day, it was a matinee.
One of our worst shows at that, too.
easily. One of the bottom three shows. How did you find out he was in the audience?
I figured something was up. The audience wasn't the audience that we usually had.
No.
At least it wasn't that one show where the audience was just like...
Next.
Right.
Yeah, on their phone. One guy, remember that one show we had? A guy was on his phone in the front row.
Oh, it was just weird. Look, I thought we had one of the best jokes ever. Like, we set up the show, you and I, and we always got applause for our little joke where I jump out into the audience and I grab the person's program and I jump back up on stage and I'm like, you don't enter yet. You're on the wrong page or something
that. Yeah,
right?
Right.
Something like that.
You had to go and grab an audience member's.
Every night.
Yeah. An audience member's program.
An old lady once was like,
Well, this is in San Diego, in a kind of a wealthy area of San Diego. Beautiful Balboa Park.
Beautiful Balboa Park.
Bubs.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. Bubs was this sports bar that we would go to.
Every freaking night.
A lot. And they had one of those basketball hoops.
Yeah.
A whole basketball half court, right?
Well, it wasn't a whole. It was like the size of this booth.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
But...
We're not in a very big booth.
Right.
To paint a picture for the audience. But it was just like classic, screens everywhere. And for whatever reason, we kept going back.
We loved that place.
Bubs. And I remember the bouncers always be like, oh, cool, you're doing a play?
They'd be like, really awesome.
That's awesome. It's like real acting, right? Did you ever get the sense that
I always chose the smallest person.
That's not necessarily good.
the person that wasn't going to be like, I'll choke the shit the out of you, you fuck.
The most easily threatened looking person.
Let me threaten you. Let it be from me and not you on
yeah,
me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It was safer that way.
You never had anyone record, don't touch
just
my...
Just the old lady.
The
one
old
time,
lady
she was like, no. And I was like, come on, give it up. I remember one time I fell and I cut my leg up trying to jump back up on stage.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I do. I don't remember any of the lines anymore.
Oh, really? Yeah. Very few.
Yeah. We had that one joke in the beginning where I grabbed the thing and I come back up on stage and it always got applause no matter what.
Uh-huh.
And I remember that one time. There's only one time in the whole thing where we did the whole spiel and nothing. And it was like, and I remember you looking at me like, here we go.
This is going to be a long
show.
This
is going to be a grind.
We're going to have to grind it out. Because there's nothing worse than doing some of these, as good as we thought the jokes were, if they fall flat, it's their joke. They're clearly like bits. So if they don't, if there's no reaction to them, it's just like,
here we go.
It's hard to keep going. It's hard to let's try this joke for you guys. Maybe you'll like it. That's why I don't think I could ever be a stand-up.
I don't have that in me.
Yeah.
I would like to try, but then when I know right when it's about to go down, I'd be like, nah, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
Because you, and you had.
You've done stand up, though.
Not really. I've like hosted things.
You went on tour with a bunch of stand up comics.
Yeah, well, that was different.
Dude. What the fuck are you talking about?
I lied. I've had a very wonderful stand up career. No, I that was more like improv. I went on stage and like had audience members throw balls, like dodge balls at me.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It was like, and I'd improv stuff with Vince. It was Vince Vaughn's comedy tour.
Right.
You never thought about doing that, but
nah, fuck that, no.
Yeah,
no way.
And you hadn't done a play in a while.
I hadn't done a play since I was like 18 years old.
Wow.
And I was 39.
Wow.
No, I was 40 something. Uh-huh. It was a few years ago.
Yeah.
You're good at remembering things like that.
Well, I had to. I had to do my research.
Right.
I also remember when Steve Martin came, and afterwards we were like,
I was so excited to meet him.
And it's one of those things where like it had been built up way too much. He could have like hung out with us and just chit chatted for hours, and it still wouldn't have been enough. We would have been like, wait a minute.
Right.
But it was
he literally
brief.
Only stayed for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
15 minutes.
It was brief.
I love the show.
Yeah.
It's great. Thank you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah, I'm out.
I remember being like, fuck.
I know.
That's why I took the show.
Me too. But at that point, it was like, I had already been so happy that I did it. So it was like,
yeah.
But can you imagine if that had been kind of a shitty experience and like, and he shows up once and it's like, what the fuck have you been?
Right. No, dude, no. I couldn't imagine. Yeah. Thank goodness we had such a good time.
I know.
Thank goodness. It would have been a lot better if he would have showed up all the time.
But then I thought, how nerve-wracking would that have been, you know, if he had been there? Because the way it was sold to us, as we said, was that he was going to be in rehearsals.
Right.
And writing, like, I imagine that he was going to be kind of making some changes to the script.
Right.
And like, so now, in retrospect, like, that experience was so freeing and fun, and like, and I never felt like Barry Adelson, the director, was
such a
nice guy, and like just not at all judgmental or
right.
It would have been weird to have Steve Martin.
I was really hoping that Steve Martin was going to teach me his comedic stylings, and I was going to steal. I was going to steal. Everything was my goal. I was like, if he should, when I see him, everything that he has is going to be mine.
Yeah, I just want a hidden camera.
Right,
I want a camera following him around.
Just jack all of his shit. Yeah. But then he never showed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But I still had a great time.
Such a great time. And then the movie we did in Albuquerque is The Wave is Coming. You can't come to Austin.
Come to Austin.
Such a shame.
It is a shame.
But it probably for the best. I mean, my liver is appreciative.
All right, no doubt. Yeah. And you live in Austin, too, don't you?
I lived there, yeah.
You moved.
I moved. I sold the place, yeah.
How long ago?
About a year.
How long ago? What are you talking about? You didn't tell me none of this.
About a year ago.
Oh, right on.
You know, it was funny. I was going to bring some green crack.
Oh, I'm glad you didn't, dude. I'm so glad you stopped smoking. I haven't smoked weed in so long.
Oh,
it's
really?
Ridiculous. Yeah, I stopped.
No kidding. Why?
Yeah, because I was living in Jersey, and I don't want to, I'm taking this job really serious.
You're working.
And, I don't know, man.
Your eyes are darting over to the ABC publicist.
I'm just I don't know how ABC is going to take this whole
Well, it's good to hear you're not smoking weed anymore.
I do not smoke weed. I haven't smoked weed since like May.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sort of heartbroken by the
If you would have bought green crack, I would have looked at it and been like, damn.
Well, I'm glad I didn't. But then I thought, like, even if you had been smoking weed, what are we going to smoke? It might be interesting.
You can't go to jail in New York City for smoking weed anymore.
Oh, right.
It's no longer a criminal charge.
I didn't mean that, but maybe we go to like podcasting jail for just having a really weird episode.
Well, we'd get real quiet all of a sudden. Oh, yeah. We'd just get real quiet.
Long stretches.
Just looking.
And then bursting into laughter.
Right, for no reason. Like, you're going to say something like, yeah.
And then there's nothing worse than two guys reminiscing about an experience that no one else had.
Right.
Remember that night when we went to Bubs?
I do remember that night, dude.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun at Bubs. I'm sorry you guys couldn't have been there.
Yeah, I know.
But we had a lot of fun at Bubs, dude.
Yeah.
I've never met one. Look, dude, you're like the only person that I know that no matter where we go, somebody wants to jump on you, dude. You're like the only dude I know, dude. No matter where we went in San Diego, somebody would always be like, what the fuck, man? I'd be like, what are you doing?
Look at him.
I didn't do anything.
He's harmless.
What is he doing?
I know. I attract some strange...
Strange aggro attention, dude.
Yeah, that's right. And I found a picture recently of... us from like, I didn't even remember, I definitely didn't remember taking it, but it was from I think Toronto, like or Vegas, maybe years ago.
Yeah, I found what you would lemon in your
mouth. Yeah, that was Vegas.
Yeah, that was Vegas. All right.
So every time I see you, we have
great times. We have great times.
Yeah, your parents. It's amazing to me that you grew up around actors. You grew up in the theater world. And your mom is still an agent, right?
She's an agent, yeah.
Tell the story about how that happened.
So I got a job at my agency because I wasn't working a lot.
Right. And so you started working when you were how old?
Professionally, junior high school, where I was getting jobs that were like on television. So I started sixth grade. I got my first commercial.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then I didn't work at all after that.
What was the first commercial? Sorry.
It was Oatmeal Raisin Crisp. And I was like, look what they've done to oatmeal. And that was my line. And I had like this, I had like four shirts on. And I remember stealing all four shirts. It was like polo after polo after polo. And I had never had a polo shirt before. And I jacked those things when I left with them.
I still do that.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. Just wardrobe stuff. My whole, all of this.
All
of
that.
This is, I mean, this may be.
But that's yours.
Yeah.
That's yours.
I'm wearing a leotard. He knew that was mine. Yeah, I still love it. So then you didn't work.
So I didn't work. And my agent was like, why don't you work for us?
Oh, man.
And we'll give you a job. And what you'll do is you'll answer the phone. And when we have auditions come through, you're going to be the one that gets the headshots and puts the resumes on the headshots. And you put them all in an envelope and you send them to the casting director.
You must have been like 14.
I was old enough to have a job.
Uh-huh, okay.
Okay. This was actually after high school and everything.
Oh, okay.
Like after I was.
When you were 17, you did a big national commercial that I remember. I'm looking for.
Folgers Coffee.
To Folgers. Yes.
Yeah. I was 16 when I did that. So this is after that. This is a few years after that. Right. I had worked a lot, but not a lot. Like I did enough to pay for high school. And,
because you went to professional children's school.
Right. And so I paid for high school and that was it. And I did like a couple of like New York Undercover or whatever it was that was
like
big
NYPD
out here.
NYPD Blue or something.
I never got on that one.
Yeah.
Never got on Cosby Show.
Sorry to bring that up.
It's all right. It only hurts
Rock.
A little. I wish.
Yeah, I know.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Have you seen the Folgers commercial in a while?
I have, and it's really bad acting.
Oh,
it's
it is?
It's really bad acting. Oh, really? It's really bad. It's bad.
I haven't seen it in a while. I want to see it
it's,
again.
Okay.
Isn't that weird when you go back and look at some of that stuff, and you can know. Like, I know. I've seen stuff from, like, earlier that I've done, and like, that wasn't good.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I know that I'm in my head.
I watched some of the things that I do, like, in the past.
2 months ago.
And I'm like, oh, that's that green crack.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Yeah. I didn't get enough sleep the night before.
Right.
I have that sometimes.
Yeah. Anyway, so they let me work there and I get Clueless and it's going to take me to L.A. But I still want to keep the job because it's just the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And my mom says, well, I'll fill in for you.
That's right.
And I was like, you'll fill in? And she was like, yeah, I'll fill in for you. I was like, all right, bet. Fill in. When I get back, I want my job. Uh-huh. And I went and did Clueless, and I was in L.A. for a few months doing the movie. And I came back, and they were like, yeah.
Good news and bad news.
Right. Good news is your mom's going to work here now. Bad news is you're never going to work here again.
But wait a minute. When you get Clueless, that wasn't that, because Amy Heckerling, who directed that, had already done
Fast Times and Look Who's Talking.
Those were big movies.
Yeah, but I didn't think that Clueless was going to be a big movie.
Oh, really?
No, I had no idea. Look, it felt like fresh off the boat. I had no idea who Scott Rudin was. I had no idea.
He produced that?
Yeah.
Wow.
I had no idea, you know what I mean? Like, Google wasn't around then, so you couldn't be like, who is the leader? Who's the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, he's one of the only producers to have an EGOT.
What's that?
Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony.
A Grammy, an Oscar. Oh, really?
An EGOT.
You call it an EGOT?
Well, that's...
That's the acronym for
that. That's the acronym for that. There's only a few people in the world that have that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't have any of those letters.
Neither do I. Whoopi Goldberg's one. Like, it's,
really?
Yeah, there's very few people that have it.
An Emmy, a Tony, an Oscar, and a Grammy.
Yeah.
I wonder if Steve Martin has one.
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure he has a Grammy.
That sounds like a Neil Patrick Harris thing to have, an EGOT.
I'm sure he has an Emmy and a Tony, but I don't think he has an Oscar or a Grammy.
Yeah. Well, maybe Emergence, you'll have I didn't know that about Scott. I thought it was I didn't know that about Scott Rudin or about EGOTs.
EGOTs, yeah.
This is great.
Yeah. Learn something new every day, bud.
For all the shorties that want voluminous, fanned-out lashes, this ad is for you. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume. Their tapered brush catches every single lash, even those pesky corner lashes. You know who you are, corner lashes. With the Panorama Mascara, you'll easily achieve that effortless, false lashes look. It's one of Christian's favorite looks. Plus, it lasts up to 24 hours and is clump and flake resistant. And just when you thought it couldn't get better, it does. The Panorama Mascara is a lot more affordable than other luxe mascaras. And honestly, it probably does a better job. It's affordable, but it's deceptive because it comes in a premium gold luxe packaging. So if you want a mascara that can do it all, volumize, lengthen, and stay put all day, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. As a podcast listener, I'm sure you know that audio piques the imagination, like especially this show. So if you really want to feel like you're in the story, check out Audible's collection of brand new exclusive thrillers.
Their titles feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. So you'll be kept on the edge of your seat.
Here's an interesting psychological thriller that is out right now. It's an Audible original. It's called Oracle. It follows an FBI psychic who can help solve missing person cases when he touches those close to the victims. But of course, it comes at a cost. He'll see the horrific moments before the victims disappeared.
Shorties, I just got chills. You have to listen along with me. You don't have to.
No.
But I think you should.
Yeah, it'd be fun. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/long or text long to 500-500. That's audible.com/long or text long to 500-500.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up and we'll meet again.
I remember thinking this is going to be the worst movie ever.
Why?
Because it was like...
The way people talk?
Yeah, we were talking weird and it was like, this doesn't sound like anything from my neighborhood.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you grew up in Harlem.
Well, right down the block, actually. I grew up literally one block from where we are right now doing this.
No shit.
I was born in Harlem, though.
So we're...
And
so
my
we're
parents'
on...
theater was in Harlem.
Wow. Yeah, like Jerry O'Connell. Jerry grew up on 8th Avenue. I think.
Did he?
Yeah.
I've known Jerry since high school.
From professional?
Yeah, from the PCS days.
Oh, man.
He has a show called The Jerry O Show.
Oh, don't I know it?
He used to do that shit in algebra for everyone.
Oh, really? So he was very, like, outgoing then. And
very outgoing.
What's your name? Jerry has taught me a very valuable lesson in when people come up to you. People are, I think we get a version of, like, how do I know you? Or like, they kind of know that we're actors, but we're not necessarily like famous actors. But they're like, I know that
you. I know you, yeah.
Or I used to kind of like, oh, I don't know, you know, sort of shy away from it. I wouldn't, Jerry leans into it.
Oh, hardcore.
Hey, my name's Jerry O'Connell. You probably saw me on maybe Jerry Maguire or I was in Stand By Me. This is Justin. He was in Dodgeball, you know, and it's just right. The way he explained it was like going into a wave. When you're surfing, you go into the wave,
right.
You know, you just put your board down and go right into it. It's just easier to deal with. And it's kind of like makes sense, you know?
Yeah, my ego gets in the way with that shit.
Oh,
like when people are like, so what have I seen you?
Yeah,
and it's like, I also get a lot of, we went to school together. And
yes,
I'm like,
I get that.
No, we didn't.
And they're like, well, I went to professional children's school.
And they're like, no, I didn't go there.
Yeah.
College? I'm like, I didn't go to college, you know?
And you got
to
do the whole...
like you're playing this game that you don't want to fucking play.
I know.
And it's like, Jerry's right.
Jerry's right.
Just go right into it.
Yeah.
And here it is. This is how you know me.
Yes. Here are the most identifiable things.
Right.
Now we can move on.
Right. And now you'll either say,
I like you or I don't care.
I've never seen any of that.
Yes. And we can go about our day. It's the best. He's right. So both your parents were actors. I didn't know that.
No, my dad was a musician and he would play in the bands and all of that stuff at the theater. And my mom, they were both in the plays and stuff like that. But my mom went to Rutgers for acting.
I'm pouring you water.
Thank you. My voice sounds that bad, huh?
No. My dad for a while was a, they called it a Shabbos goy.
What is that?
It's in the Orthodox Jewish religion, they can't turn off, you know, on Shabbos, they can't turn off, like, if you operate electricity. Instead, they have what they call a Shabbos goy, a non-Jewish person who is basically hired to operate electricity. So, but they can't say, I want you to turn on this light. They can't like be direct about it. So instead, they have to like kind of dance around it. They have to be like, you know, it's a little dark in here. It'd be nice if it were a little lighter. So then my dad had to pick up on those cues and be like, oh, I think they want
the lights.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, wonderful. The lights appear by a miracle of God. So I don't know why that just reminded me of, I guess me being like, oh, I could go ahead and get you some water.
And I poured you some.
Yes, it just reminded me of. Sorry, so your dad played.
He played the piano, and my mom acted a little bit, but she found her passion in directing, and then from directing, she became an agent.
Directing theater, then?
Theater, yeah, plays.
And were you in any of these plays?
So I was in a play. She didn't direct it. So I didn't go to school until third grade. I guess it was kind of homeschooled.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And because of that, I was always at my parents' theater with a bunch of other kids who didn't go to school until third grade.
Weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember your mom teaching you stuff at home?
I don't remember. I remember going to third grade and being like, what the fuck is this? I do remember being so far behind. And then not really liking school. With that, we did plays and went. That's how I discovered I wanted to be an actor. We went from New York to Seattle, Washington, on this hippie type bus called the Gray Rabbit, not Greyhound, the Gray Rabbit, and did plays for. I'm not going to call it a cult, but they were called the Love Family, and it was it's a little close, right? But they were awesome people. Uh-huh. And the leader of the Love Family was this dude named Love. Uh-huh. And I remember us going across the United States on a bus, took about 5 days to get to Seattle, Washington, doing a play on their compound.
What? Wait, so you were on their bus, the Love bus?
I don't think it was the Love bus. This was called the Gray Rabbit. I don't know.
My
right.
God.
And we went all the way across country. And then, but we stopped in other places and
how cool, how fun for a kid.
Sang on the street and all of that stuff. And no parents, just these two teachers.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I loved it.
Yeah.
And other kids were like, this sucks. And I was like, this is the best day ever. Everything was great.
Were you more outgoing than the kids? Like, your kids now, Rocco and Wilder, are
very outgoing. Yeah.
Like, were you that type of kid?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. If I could show you a magic trick, even if I didn't have a magic trick. If you were like, show me a magic trick, I'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Let's figure this out.
We'll take this pencil. Right. Well, you're going to love this.
Right. Well, I'm going to make this water. Right. All of that stuff. Dude.
My pants are totally dry now. Right. I'm going to saturate them.
Completely. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I remember much later on being like, that could have been the most dangerous experience for us ever. Like, sometimes we didn't have money for food, so we sang on the street.
Oh, you were like buskers.
Yeah, like
holy
crazy
shit.
Stuff. And
so your parents stayed in New York, and two teachers went with you.
And a bunch of kids. It was like 12 of us or something like that.
Oh,
it was me, my brother, then like my best friend and his sister, my other best friend and his brother, and my cousin and his brother, and then a few other people.
And did any of these people end up becoming actors?
I was the only one that became an actor.
Like, I don't
know. They were like, forget this. Singing for food sucks.
And then you had to go back across the country.
And then had to go back at the end of it across the country. Yeah.
Holy shit. So when you got to Seattle, what did you perform on this compound?
So it was this play called When the Lion Roars, and it was about the sun coming to Earth to hear a lion roar.
Wow.
Yeah, my parents were hippies.
Yeah.
Straight up hippies, dude. And I remember us.
Your mom has hippie energy. It's kind of like Mother Earth sort of like coming
with the dreads and all of that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. You see my mom and you're like, oh.
Yeah. But it's interesting that you came from her. I mean, you have an element of that.
Well, yeah, I look like I smoked a lot of weed at one point in my life, too. Absolutely. Because I did, right?
Does your mom smoke?
I don't know if she does. I've smoked weed with her before.
Uh-huh.
And she she was weird about it. She was like, dude, we're watching TV. I was like, yeah, Mom, we're watching TV. She was like, no, but I'm like really watching TV right now.
And it's like Looney Tunes?
No, it was Friends or some shit like that. She was like, this is Friends. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, I mean, no, but this is like really Friends.
But they're so symbiotic.
Right. This, I was like, Mom, Jesus, don't do this.
That's really cool.
I was like, I'll never smoke weed with you again.
Oh, that's a dream of mine.
Have you, you've never smoked weed with your mom?
No, I would like to. So at what point did it, your childhood start to become a little bit more traditional? Was that third grade?
Third grade, yeah. Pretty much third grade.
Wow.
But I didn't know half of the things that I was supposed to know when I got into third grade.
You mean just academic things or like social things?
Yeah, socially I was fine. I was, that was the easy part.
Yeah,
but
bad.
The, you know, authority, all of a sudden it was like, what?
Oh,
what
are you talking interesting. About?
You're going to do
You're going to tell me I have to go to the principal?
Right, get out of here. Yeah. I'm just talking in class. You know what I mean? I'm interrupting you.
Raise
you
my talk, what?
What? Raise my...
You want me to put my hand in the air before... Wow.
Crazy stuff.
I bet. So did you ever have a good relationship with school, or was it always like, I want to get out of here?
My senior year, well, high school, you know, I learned a lot of tricks in high school. I remember my freshman year, I was always popular at school. And I remember my freshman year in high school, I wasn't popular at all. Like, nobody paid attention to
me.
Freshman year? Freshman year. And I was like, I gotta fix this. Because I can't go to school with all these fucking huge, like, you know, big-time actors.
Oh, yeah, they're acting.
Yeah, and big-time musicians and not make my mark. I gotta figure out a way to make my
like
mark.
Like, who are, what people, besides Jerry O'Connell?
So it was Jerry... Pretty much everybody from The Cosby Show, Malcolm Jamal Warner and Tempest Bledsoe, Sarah Michelle Gellar. There were quite a few people.
Known people
that were working at the time as kids. And Macaulay Culkin, like after Home Alone, you know what I mean?
Wow, yeah. Oh, that's right.
He was a lot younger than me, but still, it was like, you know. I got bullied the first year by one dude, like, and I had to call my cousins to come down and confront this guy because this dude was bigger than me.
Oh, my God.
And they came from LaGuardia to kick this kid's ass and stuff like
that. How do actors bully other actors? Like,
well, I mean, if you're big, it's easy. If you're bigger, you're bigger. That's just how it goes. Right. You know what I mean? I remember being like, all right, you know what I'm going to do next year? I'm going to get on the yearbook committee.
Ah, smart.
And I'll put my face on every page of the yearbook.
That's really
smart. So junior year was the best year ever.
Oh, that's really smart.
And everybody knew who I was because I was on everybody's yearbook page.
Like, were your own publicist. It was like
pretty much, yeah.
It was like propaganda.
It was definitely yes. You will like me.
Yeah. If you don't like me this page, just turn another one.
I'll be there again, right?
Dude. Had you grown by freshman year or were you little?
No, I broke my leg freshman year. Uh-huh. And then after the cast came off, I had shot up like 6 inches.
Oh, wow.
The doctor, when I was a kid, I remember crying to my mom because they were like, the doctor said, he's only going to be like 5'7".
Weird.
And then I broke my leg.
How'd you break it?
Making fun of a kid. Fucking asshole. I was such a dick. So, yeah, and he
oh, it was a karma break.
Yeah, it was a karma break. And then this kid carried me up to my house.
Oh, yeah, wow. What a lesson.
What a lesson.
How'd you make fun of him?
He did some move on the basketball court, and I mimicked him and broke my leg.
There's nothing more embarrassing than that.
And then he carried me up to my house.
There is something more embarrassing than that.
Yeah.
Is really funny.
No, well, at the time, I remember being like, dude, I'm so sorry.
He's like, I know you. Yeah. You've already been paid back
right,
for it.
Don't worry. He's still a buddy.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Wait, so you become really popular and you're going to prom every year.
Right.
And so then did things change by, it must have changed drastically.
Drastically. Yeah. Junior year was phenomenal. I was, you know, I couldn't believe it.
You struck me as somebody, when I first saw Clueless, you struck me as somebody who was just on another level of confidence. Like, by the time you had done Clueless, was that what that audition was? Was that kind of how
pretty
you
much,
got
but there were a lot of kids from my school at that audition.
I bet.
And Terrence Howard was at that audition.
No way,
and
man.
You want to talk about swag. I grew up with Terrence. I've known Terrence since he was Terry. I've known him since he was like 12 years old.
Terry Howie.
Terry Howard. Yeah. Right? And I took him to his first audition with me, and he got, like, I was auditioning. I was like, why don't you crash with me?
Big mistake.
He got the fucking part.
Oh, really?
He got the part.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you got to be kidding me.
It's not hard enough out here for a pimp.
Dude, right, right. Exactly. Anyway, all these people were auditioning for it. And I remember being like, okay, I got to figure something out because I keep getting called back for it, but I'm not necessarily giving the best auditions. So all the my friends from my neighborhood and Lauryn Hill, believe it or not, for the final callback before we go to Los Angeles for it, we all get together in a staircase in my building, and I was supposed to be reading with Lauryn Hill, and she's Fuji La at this time. She's like big time.
Whoa.
And we get together in the staircase of my building, and we run lines. And everybody from my neighborhood was like, all right, that's cool. But kids would be like, I have this idea for your character, or I have this idea for your character. Trying to help me out to get the role.
Whoa.
And I took everything that everybody gave me for the audition and used it on that audition.
That's so cool.
And I remember them laughing at jokes that my buddy gave me and all of this stuff.
Did any of that make it to the movie?
None of it made it to the movie. But it helped me with the audition. You know what I mean? And it helped me be loose and feel free and feel comfortable. Like, I've got all of these choices I can make. If I want to use it, I can use it. If I don't want to use it, I don't have to use it.
And you knew it came from an authentic place.
And it came from, it came from something that I knew and not, like, the lines in the movie were like Baldwin and all of these, you know, crazy. I was like, I don't know half of this. You know, the audition was the scene where I'm like, excuse me, Miss Dion, but street slang is an increasingly valid form of expression. Most of the feminine pronouns do have mocking, but not necessarily misogynistic undertones.
Oh, my God. Oof, what a mouthful.
I say that in the audition, and to start the scene, I ask her for $5. And my buddy was like, you tell her at the end of that, keep your $5.
Oh.
And I said that, and I remember Amy heckling and Twink Kaplan laughing their asses off, like, ah!
Oh,
and I was like,
man.
Oh, shit, this is the feedback I've been waiting for.
Yeah.
And nothing could stop me after that. After that, I was like, I'm going to get this part.
How many times did you go in?
A few. So it was originally with Sony before it got to Paramount.
Oh, yeah, you told me this.
And so it was like, it was, and me being stupid, I thought it was called No Worries I, and it was supposed to be No Worries One, The Clueless Years.
Oh.
But it was in Roman, like a freaking moron, dude.
No worries, Z.
No worries. So I'm going around. So I'm auditioning for this thing called No Worries. They keep bringing me back. Dummy.
It must be a science fiction movie.
No, it's about kids in high school.
They don't talk. It's strange weird. They don't talk. They talk.
Right.
It is weird. The dialogue. I remember hearing it and thinking, I had never heard anything like that before.
Right.
The way those characters talk were unlike anything. We grew up in different worlds, but like that was unlike anything I knew.
Yeah.
So for you to make even that line that you just said, like, that is a fucking mouthful.
And
not necessarily how most people talk.
No one talks that way. No person.
Yeah. But to make that stuff real is
All Amy Heckling. She's a genius, dude.
Yeah. How would she ensure that it was all that stuff was grounded and real? And
we were kids, and so it came from honesty. You know what I mean? Like, even though we were learning these big lines, we were all literally kids, all really hungry. So, you know, for it to be grounded, she was just like, just do what you, just be you. It's all right. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? It's just be honest with it. And
there's that natural sense of like play.
Yeah.
And you and Brecken and everybody's so good.
Even Paul, you know, Paul had never done anything before, really. You know what I mean?
Paul Rudd,
Yeah, and he was surrounded. He was the only one in the whole cast that could drink at the time.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
God.
It was crazy. I remember my first time ever getting a drink legally was with Breckenmeyer, Paul Rudd, and Alicia Silverstone.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Did you think that this would be a what it became? I mean, did you have any idea?
Adam Schroeder was the one that told me this is going to be a hit movie.
Who's Adam Schroeder?
I think he's one of the producers.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, it is? Look, man, everybody's going to love this. It's going to be great. We can tell already. And I was like, okay,
this
whatever.
This is also before you've had experience doing movies where, like, every producer says that,
right. So he says, and I believe him.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And also, he was the first person to ever humble me. Because I'm walking around thinking I'm hot shit on this set. you know, pretty much playing this character.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who's the best actor at 20 right now that you know? And he's like, huh? I was like, who's the best actor?
Fishing
for him to be like, Donald Faison, to be honest with you. And he goes, oh, Leonardo DiCaprio.
It's a good answer.
And I was like, oh.
It's still true.
To this day, he's still like the stick, right? You know what I mean? And I remember being like, oh.
Okay, it was second favorite.
Right. And then it was like.
54th favorite.
Right. He never said my name. But yeah, I remember being so arrogant. And I guess it had to be
that
for that role. Yeah, it had to be for that role.
Pretty natural.
Yeah.
I mean, you do kind of like have humility.
Right. All of the things that I did in that movie were literally me trying to take the things that I saw growing up in Fast Times, in The Breakfast Club, in, you know, all of these white characters. I was trying to do my best version of the black guy at that. I wanted to be Ice Cube, but I also wanted it to be where all the girls would be like, he's Jake Ryan, or he's, you know what I mean?
That's interesting, yeah.
That was important. Or he's Judd Nelson from The Breakfast Club, you know what I mean? He's Benderman. I wanted that feel from that character.
Because you had never seen that archetype, that high school archetype representative.
Ever. And I didn't want to come across as a even though he's a huge poser, I didn't want to come across as this huge poser. I wanted, if anything, he's posing to be Ice Cube. He's like, I'm the black kid at the white school, but I really want to be Ice Cube. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's interesting. But he's not because of his socioeconomic reality.
Exactly.
Oh, that's interesting. But you said you talked in a much different way. I mean, like you knew about socializing and language was much different.
Yeah, well, keeping it real came from me.
That was
actually something that I brought to the table.
That's the first time I think I'd ever heard anyone say that.
I heard it in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
I'm keeping it real.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm keeping it real. That's going to be in this movie. And I waited and I waited, and then that shit happened. And I was like, oh, this is perfect.
Because I'm keeping it real.
Because I'm keeping it real.
Yeah, you repeated it a couple times.
Because I'm keeping it real.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got it in there. And I couldn't believe it.
That's cool. God, isn't that amazing to be able to influence? I mean, that brought your culture to somebody like me.
Right.
Somebody like me.
Right. Hey, guys, I'm keeping it real. Right.
Yes. Oh, and I started saying all the time, player.
It's lit.
It's lit AF.
It's sort of like Yas Queen.
Yeah. That's our Yas Queen.
Yeah.
So in that's right. When we were doing the play, I don't know how that started, but we started saying Yas Queen.
Yes, to everybody.
To everybody. And then it just became the way we affirm things. Mm-hmm. Oh, do you want to go to this restaurant?
Yas Queen.
Hey, so you sure you can do my podcast?
Yas Queen.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboo.
Hiring? Well, with Indeed, your search is over. Because you can get rid of the search and just match. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. That's because Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. It's constantly learning from your preferences. Basically, the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/long. Just go to Indeed.com/long right now and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/long. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Want to hear a really satisfying sound? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language this year, it'll be one of your favorite sounds too. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. With Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts, you can start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I've been loving learning Spanish because I love traveling to Spanish-speaking countries, and I just want to be better at communicating with the people. I love the people there, and I want to be able to get to know them better. I also love the food, so I'd like to be better at ordering food so I don't order the wrong thing. They teach you very practical real world language skills. And here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/long. Get 55% off at babbel.com/long, spelled babbel.com/long. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up and we'll meet again.
How long after that is Scrubs? How does Scrubs...
So Scrubs... So after Clueless... Clueless ran 3 years. 1 year on ABC and then 2 years on the UPN network.
Uh-huh.
And then after Clueless... While doing that, I did a couple of movies like... this movie Trippin' with my buddy Dion Richmond.
Trippin'. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I saw you posted that on Instagram. Tripping. We call it tripping.
No, y'all say tripping too. Don't even try.
That's true. don't go tripping.
Don't start tripping
don't,
on
don't
us.
Trip.
Right. And
I wish I could say tripping. I love that. I know, but it's hard for me to slip in.
You
naturally.
Just did.
All right. I guess I'm tripping for
You're
no
tripping,
reason.
You're tripping, dude. You're tripping.
But then Scrubs became like a massive hit again.
Yeah.
So now you. That's got to make life, does that make life easier? Does that just like make life more fun? You get to go to a regular job that you like?
It's great, yeah. I met Zach Braff during it, you know, everything.
Still a good friend.
Still a great friend, yeah.
And people seem to be very into your...
Our bromance.
Bromance, yeah.
More than they are into me and him individually. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Dude. I post a picture of me and Zach, and it's like 100,000 people like this.
Yeah. Well, and also I've heard people call you Turk. I mean,
right.
Like, they must.
Brown Bear, all of that shit.
What's Brown Bear?
That's the name that Zach gave me on the show.
Oh, okay.
Chocolate right. Bear, brown, because my skin's brown.
I figured
I'm
out.
As big as a fucking bear.
That is true.
Justin.
Brown Bear is a good nickname for you. But you're not ferocious, but you're cuddly.
But I'm cuddly. Yeah. I'm so cuddly, like a brown bear.
Yeah, that's funny. But you, that show is so beloved too. I mean, so people must be a component of like why they like your Instagram promise.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like they love us together as those two characters.
Did you guys hit it off right away? Was it?
Yeah. It was the minute we met each other, we knew
that's the best,
there was something
isn't it?
Special. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of that, how did you meet Casey, your wife, Casey Cobb?
So
to me sounds like a baseball player.
She does sound like a baseball player, right? Starting pitcher,
Casey Cobb. I guess it's Ty Cobb and Casey
Cobb. Yeah, right. Zach turned 30,
uh-huh.
And he threw a party at 40 Deuce.
Oh, boy.
Everybody's up in there. You know what I mean? It's a big time scene.
Yeah.
And he threw a party, his 30th birthday party there. And Jessica was there with Casey. Jessica Simpson was there with Casey. And I was there with someone else. And I remember going.
with Zach.
And I remember going to the bar. Seeing her and not really knowing who she was, but I knew she was there with Jessica, and I knew Jessica had an assistant on the show that everybody was talking about, who was this cute girl from Texas. Yeah. I was like, maybe this is her.
She also, as I recall on the show, was kind of the voice of reason, was kind of like, Jessica, what do you
can't do that, right.
Yeah. That's so a very appealing combination.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I said, hey, how's it going? And she turned around and she was like, hey.
As a joke?
No, like,
oh,
like
it's on.
What's up?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, shit. And I looked over my shoulder to see if...
She was saying it to somebody else?
If the girl that I was there with saw this shit. And she didn't. I was like, hey. And then Casey goes, oh, no, I thought you... I know who you are now. You're... Okay, I thought I knew you. I don't know you.
Oh, it was a mistaken familiarity.
Yeah, I... My bad. Sorry about that.
Like, no, hey! Don't take it back. You can't take back a hey!
I hey, too.
Yeah.
I gave you the hey. We did the hey.
I'm not taking mine back.
All right, my hey is real. And I was like, all right, well, can we at least take a picture together? She was like, yeah, sure, why not? Uh-huh. So we take a picture, and... I have a bunch of pictures from that night on this camera. And I'm going through the pictures with my then at the time girlfriend. And we're going through all of them. And I pass over the picture. And I go, wait a second. And I go back and I'm trying to be clever about
it. How did that get here?
Right. Trying to be clever about it. Uh-huh. And I'm like, who is this girl? And she goes, oh, that's Casey Cobb. And I was like, Casey, in my mind, Casey Cobb. Me and this girl break up.
Uh-huh. It's shocking.
Yeah. You saw it coming. Yes. And now my mission is, when I see Casey, I'm going to spit game. I don't care what she says. I'm going to shoot my shot and let's see what happens.
I wish I could have been there for that.
Oh gosh, it didn't go well.
Oh, okay.
So we're at Rose, now we're at Teddy's.
Okay.
At the Roosevelt Hotel. Me and Zach at Teddy's.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh," and she's dancing with Taye Diggs, right? And I'm like, "Oh shit. She's dancing with a black dude.
She's getting her groove back."
No, right.
Yeah.
She's dancing with a black dude. I'm going to dance with her. Uh-huh. So it's not one of those white girls in Hollywood that does never date a black dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I see. Okay.
I got a shot at this.
But it's also like, Jesus, Taye Diggs.
It's Taye Diggs, too.
You're stepping up to the plate.
It's Black Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the most handsome dude on the planet.
Yes.
You know what I mean? With, at this time, a lot of heat behind his name. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Even the broiest, like, most homophobic guys would be like damn.
Taye Diggs, dog.
Yeah.
Holy Taye Diggs. And I was like, well, I'm going to shoot my shot anyway.
Uh-huh. Wow, good for
and
you.
And so I go up and I start dancing. And she goes, uh-uh. And I was like, what?
Out loud?
Yeah. She goes, he's married. He's safe. You're not.
What?
And I was like, what? Why are you dancing with a married man, dude? What the hell is wrong with you? And she's like, she kind of knew if I wanted to dance with her, I'd try and push up hard.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, I just want to dance.
Uh-huh.
All night.
Was Taye Diggs like, oh, shit.
I don't know. I don't know what Tay's mindset was at that
time.
Yeah, I don't know what his mindset was at that time in his life. Anyway, so she goes back and I'm like, all right.
I'm going to ask him when he's on.
I was like, so what's up with you and her? And to him, he was like, oh, nothing, dude. I was like, oh, okay, good. Cool. And I go over to Zach and I was like, all right, look. From what I gather, she doesn't have a boyfriend. She just works for Jessica Simpson. I need you to go over there because you know Jessica from your birthday party and freaking tell her that I kind of like her. He's like, what?
This was total high school shit.
And he's like, all right, fine, whatever, dude.
He's like, wait, you want me to say you like her?
No, just tell her I like her. We don't have to go like her.
I don't want to scare her away.
Right, right. So he goes over there and he's like, so you see my friend over there? He totally likes you and he would love to get your number.
She's like, Taye Diggs?
No. And she looks over at me and then she looks to him and he goes and walks back. And I was like, what the fuck? What happened? What'd she say? He was like, so I told her you liked her and you wanted to get her number. And she was like, doesn't he have like 9 kids?
Only four. Now,
I
hate to interrupt this. This is good. But when you see him, this is always an embarrassing moment. When you see him talking to her.
Right.
Are you pretending not to look at them?
Of course. Okay. But over my, you know, I'm doing the little side eye thing where I'm trying to check her from the side.
Yeah,
and see
trying
what's
to
going
look
on.
Like handsome.
Right, like I'm, but I'm chilling and I'm like, trying to, you know, be chill against
like
the bar.
But you don't really care.
But like, right, like, just go make it happen. Drinking a beer, but I'm really like, you know. And he comes back and he says that. And I was like, oh. It's never going to happen. And he was like, I don't know, dude, man. Maybe this isn't.
It's not a no.
This is, right. But this isn't the one that's going to. And then I ran into her again. And this time I ran into her and I'm with Terrence Howard. He's now been nominated for the Academy Award. It's not out yet. The Academy Award hasn't happened yet, but he's nominated. And we're at an Oscar party at Teddy's once again.
Uh-huh.
And I'd done this movie. And Prince is best friends with the director of the movie.
Good Lord.
And he's like, Prince is not geeking out, but as much as Prince could geek out, he's fucking, you know what I mean? Like, Donald, I'm really excited to see this movie.
No, that.
And I was like, holy shit. So now.
That's funny, the idea of Prince geeking out.
I'm very excited to see this movie.
You're like, calm down,
and
Prince.
I was like, right. And I'm there with Terrence, and Terrence is nominated, so Terrence is like, yo, let's go meet Prince. So we're sitting down with Prince, but Prince is hanging out with Jessica and Casey.
Oh, wow.
And so we sit down with him, and Casey's like, comes over and is like, you guys got to move. This is our, we're at this section. I was like, I'm not going anywhere. Get the fuck out of here. You're bugging if you think I'm leaving right now. This is going to be the only time I get to ever talk to Prince.
And bugging's worse than tripping, right?
Bugging is definitely worse than tripping. Tripping, you're like, oh my God, your mind is, bugging is like, dude, this could turn into a fight.
Okay.
Get the fuck out of here. There's no way. You're bugging if you think I'm leaving here.
But you must have done it in like a flirty, fun way.
Absolutely not.
Oh.
Absolutely not. I was like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Hell no. I'm not going anywhere. They're like, well, Prince can't sit down if you'd sit there. I was like, Prince can sit right here. You can't sit
Prince
down.
Prince doesn't need that much
right.
room.
He's a pretty little guy. Right here. So me and now, so Terry and I, Terrence and I now have him flanked.
Uh-huh.
And Jessica's sitting over here like on
right
a,
across from you.
Across from us. And Casey has to stand. Uh-huh. And I remember just talking to Prince and then leaving again. So now, this time, she knows Prince likes me.
Uh-huh.
And so there, in your face, in your face.
That's got to mean something.
Right. No, not that it's going to make her like me, but there, in your face.
It couldn't hurt.
Right. Look, you don't, you, I know you're here with him and you guys will probably hang out when I'm gone and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But there's no way that you can deny the fact that the coolest motherfucker on the planet likes me.
Yeah.
You so see, like, the think Dalai. About that.
You see the Dalai Lama on the way out.
Right.
You
know, like, he's like, Donald.
He doesn't care I have kids.
Right. He's like, right.
Right. We should tell everyone at this point that you do have four kids.
Right.
Now. No, no, no.
At that point in time,
you did.
Four kids.
And but how long had you been divorced at that point?
For at least 2 years.
Okay.
Two, so, 3 years.
Okay. So you're...
I'm single. And this is like the one time in my whole life that I've ever been really single.
Yeah.
Right. So I see her again out. She's like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, hey, how's it going? And now all of a sudden, it's not like she's trying to spit game at me, but she's used to me always seeing her and trying to be near her.
Uh-huh.
And so she tells stories of how she would be like, we're going out tonight. We might see Donald Faison. He's going to hit on me. Oh, whatever.
Oh, God.
Right. And so one night.
So you must have sensed that energy from her.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it started happening a lot where we would run into each other. And I'd be like, hey, how's it going? And she'd be like, hey. I'd be like, let me get your number. And she'd be like, not tonight. And I'd be like, what? Hold on.
Why not?
She was like, not tonight. Maybe some other time. Next time I see you, I'll give it to you. And I was like, all right. So she definitely, there's something definitely there because she's saying not tonight. She's saying not tonight. And she's not saying no.
Did she ever explain why she said that and not?
Because she was playing the end game is what she says. She's playing a slow game.
So was she afraid that you were just like a player, that you were like,
she was like, she said she knew I had just gotten out of a relationship and she didn't want me to be
another like notch on the belt.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
She right.
I mean, you are an interesting mix of like, you're tremendously respectful. I can't imagine you ever disrespecting a woman or being, you are a gentleman.
Yes.
But you are also, I can see women thinking you're like flirtatious or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. So one night I'm out, and this is a really long story, I'm sorry.
No, this is good.
One night I'm out with my cousin, and Scarlett Johansson is at this party that we're at. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh my God, Scarlett Johansson. Yo, let me go talk to her. So I go talk to her, and the thing that we have in common is we both went to PCS.
Sure. With Jerry.
With Jerry.
Yeah.
She was a little bit younger than us.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to talk to her.
Uh-huh.
I'm not really trying to get with her, but I'm trying to talk to her. Like, yo.
But you wouldn't be disappointed
if she was
that
like, let's exchange numbers and talk. I would have been like, this is the best. We did exchange numbers, but it wasn't to be boyfriend and girlfriend. Yeah. It was to just be like cordial, like, oh, okay, I know who you are, you know who I am. Anyway. And I'm like, holy shit. And we're talking and we're talking and we're talking about school. Uh-huh. But we're having conversation, so everybody around us is like, what the hell are they talking about?
Uh-huh.
And I get a tap on my shoulder, and I turn around, and it's Casey. And so now I'm like, I don't need to talk to Scarlett anymore. She made her way all the way over here to talk to me. Let me turn. It was like a Wilmer Valderrama party, so it's loaded with people. She made the effort to talk to me. Let me turn around and talk to her. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? And she goes, I'm here with someone, but I saw you across the room. I just wanted to say hi. And then turns around and walks away.
Interesting.
And I was like, what? I turn around, Scarlett's gone. So now this person that I'm having this conversation with is gone, and Casey is there with some other dude. I didn't see her for a long time. And now Hyde is popping.
Uh-huh.
And I'm at Hyde with Zach, his girlfriend at the time.
Sounds like a pattern here.
Right. And Casey walks in. I don't pay her any attention because I know where it's going to lead. Mm-hmm. And she comes up. She goes, hey. And I go, hey, how's it going? And I turn back around and I start talking with Zach and his girlfriend at the time and our buddy. And she goes, well, I was going to give you my number, but I guess now I won't. Immediately jumped up and was like, let's do it. Let's do it. And she does it. And I'm like, let's go out. She's like, when? I was like, this weekend. She's like, what do you want to do? I said, I'm taking you to see Superman the Returns. And Superman Returns. And she's like, all right, fine, whatever. And the movie comes out and we don't go see that, but we wind up going and hanging out at, remember Damiano's, the pizza restaurant right next to the Dime? So we ate French fries on our first date. And I told her my whole life story.
Wow.
And I told her how many kids I had and how I got divorced and what I did to get divorced and how what I did to not have an ex-girlfriend anymore. I told her everything.
Just very honest.
Just as honest as I possibly could be. And from that moment on, we were always together.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, do you feel like you've learned as a father? How do you feel? Because you have two sets of, like, you have four kids.
Right.
They're older, and the youngest one now is
18 almost. 20.
Oh my God.
Out of those four, the youngest is 18 now. He'll be 18 in October.
Were there things that you're doing? I mean, I don't know how to ask this without it sounding like you didn't do a good job the first time around, but have
oh,
you?
Oh, I didn't. I did a horrible job the first time. I was a good dad. Yeah. I just wasn't a good husband. You know what I mean? And it took, you know, I did a lot of really bad things that I look back and I'm like, damn, you know what? I wish I would have just been a little bit more present in my kid's life during the divorce and after the divorce. Now, Kobe lives with me.
Oh, yeah.
Kaya lives with me. Kaya's going to Cal State Northridge.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
That's awesome.
And we have a great relationship. But at the time, I was just a selfish asshole.
Well, you were also, it was at the height, your career was.
Yeah, Scrubs was on. Yeah. You know, there were so many things being thrown at me.
I mean, I'm not giving you like an hour.
No,
know
there's
this
no
like
hour.
An hour, but it's like, I know what those hours are. It's not, you're not working in a coal mine, but it's.
But you're
long
never
hours.
Home.
Yeah.
And when you, and you know, it was horrible.
Yeah.
It was not good to be married at that time because of how young I was, one, but also how immature I was for, you know what I mean? I did not take my marriage seriously.
Well, how old were you when you got married? You were really young.
I was 20. It was right after, when I did Remember the Titans, I turned 25. So it was right around.
Oh, my God.
When the first season of Scrubs, after the pilot and Scrubs got picked up, I had gotten married. And
wow.
By the season three, I was divorced.
You're on a show now that premiered, it's premiering this week.
Yes.
Wink, wink. We're recording
wink,
this earlier.
Wink.
I'm so bad at that.
Sorry,
I can't lie to my friend.
It. Don't worry about it.
Emergence on ABC. It looks so cool. I mean, I'm not saying this, you're my friend. I've been watching those. They're all, since I've been watching The Bachelor, I've been seeing a lot of Emergence trailers.
A lot of the trailers, yeah.
Is it, do you think it's as, I know you have to say it is as good as it, is it as good as it looks? Because I'll be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, it is.
Answer.
I haven't been this excited for a show since Scrubs.
No kidding.
So
it looks cool.
Yeah, this is one where, you know, you always say, oh, it's such a good show.
Yeah,
it's such a good show.
Yeah.
And you don't really mean it. This, like, I am very happy to be a part of this show. Like, I feel like, I don't know, man. I feel, you know, you know when you have the feeling of, just if people watch it, I promise you, you'll enjoy it.
Right.
It's not one of those shits where you'll be like, that was shit. It's one of those, it's one of those, you know what I mean?
That's going to look so good on the poster.
Right.
It's not one of those shits where you're like, this is
shit. Right.
What is your most commonly used emoji?
The eggplant.
Such a good answer. It's one of the reasons I love you. That's why we're friends. If you could be a professional athlete, what sport would you play?
Basketball.
Okay. Knicks, right?
Knicks fan for life.
Yeah. This season might be...
the worst season ever.
It might be true.
Yeah.
If you'd have one snack food for the rest of your life,
Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I remember when you were smoking. The good old dude. By the way, how do you, I have this conversation with my brother a lot. What do you call weed? What's a not, every word I can think of whenever I talk about it is like lame, sounds lame.
Wow, so
like,
it's weed, oh, it's Buddha, or I can't God's green lettuce, or.
If you were to say, oh, I smoke, you just ask.
Ganja.
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 It's cool.
Herb.
Herb. Favorite movie of all time?
Empire Strikes Back.
Ah, yeah. You saw it in the movie theater? You
like a million times in the movie theater.
You're a huge
Star Wars fan.
Yeah. Has that formed any of your opinions about religion or the afterlife? You didn't grow up with religion?
I grew up with spirituality, not necessarily religion. But I definitely believe that there's got to be some power powering this whole thing. And I don't mean just us as humans. I mean this whole universe. There's something, you know what I mean? If you want to get microscopic, there's universes inside of this cup of water, you know what I mean? In our hands, in our bodies, there's just a bunch of electrons and protons and neutrons and all of that stuff is spinning and orbiting each other. Who's to say that this isn't being powered by something like that?
We're not just a speck on some...
We're definitely a speck on a little tiny rock in this... That's
so to subscribe to some sort of like Judeo-Christian set of beliefs would be like, oh, what arrogance that we are the only, that we're the chosen, you know.
I cannot believe that.
Yeah.
I do believe that it's fine to have your beliefs and to believe in what you believe in, but I don't necessarily think that it's just it's everybody's one religion is correct. I think there has to be truth in all of it, obviously, because somebody wrote about it.
Right.
And so somebody experienced
something in there. Yeah. Casey grow up with that? Did you have to determine like how we're going to raise Rocco?
She grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
And if Rocco believes in God and finds God, then good for him. Go for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Go all the way, you know, but I'm just not going to push my beliefs on him.
Except for Star Wars. You're going to make
He's already a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
And he can, look, that's a lot of religion right there.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
There's a whole mythology.
Yeah.
Okay, almost done. If you had to live somewhere else, where would it be?
Other than California?
Yeah.
New York.
If you could have dinner with three people, dead or alive, whom you've never met?
Okay, I'd love to meet Martin Luther King, obviously.
Yeah.
Malcolm X, obviously. And Harrison Ford.
Oh, man. That'd be a great dinner.
It would be a weird, weird,
it would
weird,
be weird.
Weird dinner.
Yeah. Harrison Ford would be like, what am I doing here? your favorite Muppet?
Oh, gosh. Oh, fuck you. Man. Grover. Oh, it just
Grover.
Goes on. It goes on. Yeah. Grover's great. Oh.
You know who I realized I haven't thought about enough lately is, remember Beauregard?
Yeah.
Boy, I loved him.
The janitor.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was so funny. And he had those little fun.
The hat and everything.
The hat, but those little wispy hairs would stick out.
Right, dude. So it's Grover and it's, oh gosh.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
To read minds. Yeah.
If you could be reincarnated as a non-human animal, what would you be?
I guess a wolf.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a wolf.
I like the way you said that.
Yeah, because you could be a loner or you could run with a pack.
Yeah. Do you kind of mix both?
Yeah.
You have a pack now.
Well, of my kids, that's about it. But let's keep it honest. When you move to California, you start off trying to find the group that you fit in. And then you realize, you know what? I like being with me way more than running with this pack of people.
So. Well, our packs used to cross paths.
Absolutely.
And I miss a lot of those. I mean, I miss those days and those guys, but it's true. At a certain point, and people get families and just,
right.
You know.
At a certain point, you realize.
It becomes a little,
It's better just me.
Yeah,
it's
got to pack it in.
Me, yeah.
Would you go camping or glamping?
Oh, camping.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs. Fuck a cat.
Not literally. Beatles, Stones.
Beatles.
For sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I
like the Stones too, but Beatles.
Totally. I feel the same. You're the best, man.
No, you're the best, man.
I
miss you.
I miss you. Emergence is Tuesday nights.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
On ABC.
You're the best. Thanks. I never know how to end these.
It's all good.
Okay.
Say goodbye.
All right. Maybe a line from Clueless.
No.
Let's keep it 100.
Let's keep it real.
Let's keep it real.
All right. All right. <My man. laughs>
So that just happened. I don't think we know.
We don't know what the phrase is.
We've done it so many times now that we've confused ourselves.
I don't think it's that just happened.
I think it's well that happened.
Yeah, you started adding a just and then chastised me for not getting it right.
So let's agree on it. Well, that happened.
Well, that happened. Okay.
Okay.
With a well or so?
Shit, I don't know.
Whatever. It happened.
It happened. He is incredibly confident. That was my biggest takeaway from it. He's an incredibly confident human being.
Yeah. I've always thought.
But not obnoxiously
that's
so.
That's the difference. You know? So I know. Maybe that's why I hesitate to describe him that way, because it's usually. To say somebody is confident usually suggests that they're.
Cockiness.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very often difficult to separate confidence from cockiness. But yeah. He does not seem cocky at all, but extremely confident. And a lot of the stories he told were like, then I walked up to this girl and that girl and this girl and this guy. And there was every time he said that, I was like, I don't think I've ever done that once in my life. Just walked up to someone and been like, hey, my name's Christian.
No,
like,
I know.
Can I buy you a drink? I've never done that.
No, I know.
So people who do that are – I admire them so much, courage.
Me too. And those that do it in a way that isn't like creepy and aggressive and weird.
But just that act of walking up to somebody, to a stranger.
I know.
And introducing yourself. I wouldn't know how to do that.
As Donald would say, like spitting game, you know. I don't know if he would say that.
Spitting game.
Spitting game. I shouldn't put that in his mouth. I don't know if he would say that, but he is capable. And it reminds me actually of that first – my introduction to Donald, which was many of yours, was that shot in Clueless when he just walks up and she's like – Stacey Dash says, oh, there's my boyfriend. And he just comes right in. And it's like he exudes this confidence. I mean, he's leaning to – it's more cockiness in Clueless. He's playing that character who's, what's up, girl? He's just very like –
Yeah, he talked about that. I thought that was interesting that he said he was playing a poser, really. Like that guy, that character was a bit of a poser, but he didn't want to play it like a poser. Like he didn't want to be a poser, you know?
Yeah.
So he tried to make it as authentic as possible.
Because I'm keeping it real. I mean, that's a big part of that movie. I mean, he talks about it. I don't know why that line really struck me, because I think it was the first time I ever heard.
That's great. Well, like, I think
he introduced that into the lexicon.
The lexicon. it was fun to hear you guys reminisce. I've still never met him, but
that's weird to me.
But I still enjoyed hearing you guys talk about stuff that I wasn't a part of.
Oh, that's good.
It was fun to listen to.
He's fun. He's just fun to go out with. Because like you said, he is not at all shy about talking to people. And I love that. I mean, I love the idea of just being able to ingratiate yourself in a group of strangers. And again, he does it in a way that is like, you know, it's never – even when he talks about Casey, like that story about – meeting Casey, it's like there's a version of that story if you read it that sounds like it could be kind of creepy or like, dude, she doesn't want to go out with you, like lay off, you know.
I had a different take on that.
Oh really? That she was
I thought she was stringing him along for a long time. And
well, you're a sexist.
Well, that's true.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah, don't listen to me.
Yeah. Yo, really? Okay, well, maybe I'm not remembering. Yeah, I mean, I know it was a lot of like, why not go out with him? Either you will or you won't.
Well, see, it's funny. There's a long story, and I'll reduce it to this. She became interested in him after he was pursuing her for months.
I think like a year.
She finally became interested in him. Why? Because, one, she saw him hanging out with Prince, and that was a cool association. Two, she saw him talking to Scarlett Johansson, and then she tapped him on the shoulder.
That's pretty cool.
And three, and this was the straw that broke the camel's back.
The cop's back.
He kind of like blew her off once. She was like, hey, good to see you. And he was like, hey, what's up? You know, and he didn't give her the time of day.
Yeah.
And then she was like, let's hang out.
That's true.
So
those are impressive moments, though, in a courtship, I think. A pre-courtship.
They are, but.
Well, also, he had a reputation maybe, or she thought. As being like,
God, you're such a Casey Cobb apologist.
I am. I'm a Cobbologist. Well, because I know Casey too, and she's great. I mean, like, she's.
I don't know either of them, so I'm very objective right now.
That's true.
I think it's fair to say that you, if anything happens to Zach Braff, I hope it doesn't, but I think it's pretty safe to say that you could stand in for him in their bromance if anything happens.
Yeah.
I think you guys would be. You'd be a good Zach Braff substitute.
I'm Braffish.
Okay. So the interview started. I wasn't there for it, so I just heard the recording. It started with you guys talking about pooping with the door open, and I was so curious.
Well, here's how it
how that started.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because they didn't, you know, before there's a storm, there's like that electricity in the air. There's like the air smells different before like a thunderstorm rolls in, and it's like that, like there's something in the air. Mm-hmm. That's what happens in a room before Donald enters it. He comes in with such gusto and life and like, what's up? You know, and we hadn't seen each other in a while, and he's just a big bear. Like, he talks about it on the show. He's like a big bear. And well,
not like a big bear in Chelsea.
Oh no, no. But he comes in and with just this such energy that like part of it was like pee energy. He's like, I gotta go pee. I gotta go to the bathroom. And I said, oh, we gotta record this. Let's record it. And I don't know, whatever. We were laughing about recording him potentially pooping.
Oh, I'm so glad I asked. Yeah,
sorry. You did ask.
Well, good to know.
Yeah. Context. So that's, now you know why they cut that out.
He was talking about you thinking his brother is older, even though he's younger.
Yeah.
And I feel him on that.
Yeah. Did I?
Yes. I often get, well, who's older between you two? And I shouldn't be, because who gives a shit, really? But I'm always a little insulted because I am 3 years younger than Justin.
Three and a half.
Three and a quarter. My instinct is always to think, oh, I'm not aging well, if they think I'm the same age. Like, where did those 3 years go?
Yes.
But then I suppose we're both about 40.
Yeah.
And at a certain point,
I know,
3 years isn't a whole lot. You know, it's not like you're 8 and I'm 5 and people can't.
Yeah. When would it be genuinely insulting? When would it be like the most insulting?
4 and 1.
Yeah, that's true. 3 and 0.
You're talking about meeting Steve Martin and you both decided to do the play in part, in large part, because you thought he was going to be a huge part of it.
Yeah, that's what it implied, more than implied.
I remember that. Yeah. Whoever your agent at the time was like, he's going to be there night and day.
It's funny, they didn't mention him. They just said the writer will be there every day. We'll be working on it. They're working on it.
That's funny. But you were talking about how you were disappointed by that and by meeting him. But think about how much worse it would have been if you met him and he was a complete dick.
I know. Yeah, no, I know. And worst case scenario is if he was difficult and he's working on the thing the whole time.
Exactly. That'd so you're hard. Kind of
– I know.
You should be happy that he wasn't really part of it.
It's funny. When the director of that play came to New York, we went to see a Steve Martin play called Meteor Shower, which Amy Schumer was in. And it's a really fun play, really good play. And afterwards, we went to they had like an opening night party. And the director, my friend Barry Edelstein, is very good friends with Steve Martin. And he said, do you want to go? Steve was like in a back room and, you know, with like fancy people around. And he said, I'm going to go say hi, meet him. Do you want to come? And he said, I think Martin Short's there with him. And I really regret this now, but I said no. I felt like too much pressure to meet those guys in that environment.
Yeah, you know? And also, what are you going to get from meeting someone like that?
I know. Or like Mickey Mouse.
What, really?
Well, not me. I mean, I'm saying.
Oh,
like
you
a
mean
kid
as a kid?
Would, yeah, not now.
Well, that just took a turn.
Oh, so nice to meet you too. I love your work.
Yeah.
Are you still with Minnie? Is Minnie?
They didn't date.
Oh, they didn't? They're just sisters? They're siblings?
I think they're just friends.
Friends?
Mickey and Minnie.
They just remained friends?
Like Chip and Dale. Like well, Frog and Toad. Like Bert and Ernie.
Hold on. Well, you just threw a lot out there. For Chip and Dale are siblings, I think.
No. What do you mean? They have different color noses.
Who cares? They have similar we have different features.
We don't have different color noses.
No, but that's the one thing that makes them different.
That's very different. Chip and Dale are not brothers.
I think you're wrong.
They're friends.
Alvin's brothers with the other chipmunks.
That's true.
Okay, and now Bert and Ernie, they're friends. They're roommates. What's going on there?
Well, I think they're a little more than friends. But
okay, Bert. What do you think they are?
What did Ernie? I think they're hetero life mates.
And who are the other ones? Oh, Frog and Toad. I love Frog and Toad.
They're just friends too.
Arnold Lobel. Yeah, I guess so. There were a lot of adult friends in children's literature and pop culture.
I think Chip and Dale are just friends. Why did you start talking about Chip
Mickey
and Dale?
Mickey and Minnie. I think Mickey and Minnie are kind of
Mickey and
a
Minnie.
Couple.
I don't think so.
Anyway, if you happen to write in, and we'll get to the letters.
Because if Mickey and Minnie were a couple, how come they never had children?
Well, you don't have to. Not a lot of couples don't necessarily have kids.
I know, but in that Disney world, you'd think that if they were a couple, they would have produced little mice?
Well, Kermit and Miss Piggy never had a half pig.
They weren't lovers. They weren't sexual with each other.
Sure they were. They were.
Kermit and Miss Piggy?
Of course they were. You've never seen Muppets Take Manhattan? They're very. Miss Piggy's furious at the thought of him being with other. Being with a frog, with his own kind.
Oh, really?
Yeah, remember when he meets Gil and Gil? And...
Oh, yeah. So they have sex.
Well, I don't know if they have sex, but they're amorous. They kiss. I think Miss Piggy and Kermit kiss.
He taught you what an EGOT was.
Oh, did you know that?
I never heard that. But I think I've seen it in print. And it's Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. So if you're if you have an EGOT, you have all four of them.
God.
And I wondered.
He said it so casually.
And I wondered why they chose that as an acronym. But then I realized it's EGOT. It's in alphabetical order. But it's such an ugly sounding acronym. Why not GOAT? GOTE, because that's a homophone of GOAT, GOAT.
Yeah.
And that's like greatest of all time. And so that is a more appropriate acronym, I think.
Or OTEG.
OGET.
EGOT.
TOG.
Yeah, EGOT doesn't sound, it doesn't sound, what's the word? I can't think of words. Yeah, EGOT doesn't sound.
Impressive.
Yeah. Significant. Sounds like a problem. Oh, I got an EGOT. I got this EGOT I'm dealing with.
I thought it was interesting that he thought Clueless was going to be bad because the script, because people were talking in it in such a different in such a different way than what he was used to growing up in New York. And he was like, this is crazy. This isn't going to be good.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that he performed for a cult when he was a kid.
And
he just said it so casually. He was like, I'm not going to say it's a cult, but – and then he went on to describe a cult.
It's a cult.
He was like, no, it was just in a big open field and everyone wore robes and their names were Mr. and Mrs. Love, Love Pepper. And it's like, no, that's a cult.
It's like maybe not Jonestown, but it's – yeah.
He talked about smoking pot with his mom and you said, oh, that's something I would like to do with my mom. And I disagree. I would not want to do that with our mom.
Oh, yeah.
It would – make my brain melt, probably. It would be very upsetting for me.
Yeah, maybe I didn't think that one through.
I love that his favorite emoji is the eggplant, and he said it so confidently, so quickly. No hesitation.
Yeah, that was the best. I know. You know those moments when you're talking to somebody that you really like, and you're like, ah, that's why I like you.
Yeah. But all those short questions, I know I keep coming back to this, but very confident, very sure of himself, very sure of what he likes and what he doesn't like.
Yes. Eggplant. And there was it was unnecessary to expand on that.
Yeah.
He's the best. God damn it. I would totally, I don't want anything to happen to Zach Braff, but, and by the way, nothing has to happen to Zach. It doesn't have to be like a dramatic thing for me to have a bromance with Donald. We could be like a threesome.
Oh, God.
You just got a visual? Speaking of eggplant emojis.
Let's read a letter.
Okay, great. Yeah.
This is from Temple F.
Right, Temple F. Importance of family, it's called. Listening to you interact with each other makes me so grateful for my brother. Oh. In December of 2010, our mother died at her mother's funeral. You read it right. Our grandmother died on Christmas Day. Jesus. And 3 days later, our mother suffered a pulmonary embolism at the funeral and died right there. Oh, Lord. Temple, I'm so sorry. There was no one, and I mean no one on planet Earth who understood what I was going through other than my brother. In the years since their deaths, my brother and I have become no more alike than we were before. Now, though, I appreciate that he is there. We are now in a place where honesty reigns and we can have those conversations about what we need from each other. And we laugh about the absurdity of losing them both in that way. We call it the worst Lifetime movie never written. We understand that the only way to handle the weight of the grief is to share it and to juggle it back and forth sometimes. Listening to the two of you talk always reminds me that he is and always will be my person. Love, Temple. Temple, you have brought me two tears. That is incredibly moving. And I can't imagine going through something like that at all. But then if you have no one to share it with, to share that kind of grief.
Through tragedy, you've kind of embraced the good. You know, you've embraced your relationship with your brother that you still have, you know, and that's strengthened your connection.
And that it's probably strengthening your connection to your grandma and your mom, who, you know, you have to remember together now. It probably helps it, that memory, that collective memory. Thank you so much for that, Temple. And thanks to everyone writing in. If you'd like to write in and just tell us, you know, anything, whatever. lifeisshort@wondery.com. And thanks for listening.
We really like hearing from you guys.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-boom.
Life is Short is hosted by me, Justin Long. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else?
It's produced by Christian Long and Megan Monaco.
Our senior producer is Michelle
Mish
Lance. Our audio engineer is Marcelino Viapando. And our executive producers are Marshall Louie and Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
But she was also, that was kind of why she was funny. She was delusional. She was a delusional character.
Yeah.
So we would laugh at her. Like, she...
If Miss Piggy was around today, she would become successful and she wouldn't be funny anymore.
But wait a minute. Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. She'd be self... She'd be...
She'd be like Snooki. She's like Snooki.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Snooki knows she's talentless, probably.
Yeah.
But it's... what made... Or does she? Or does she think she's got... What does it mean to value as a entertainment it's, value?
She would probably say, I'm funny. I'm said, funny. I'm
I bet you're right. I bet Snooki would think she's funny.
Yeah, because think about...
But then if you said to Snooki, well, funny how?
I guarantee you she's been called funny in like a earnest way.
By the way, Snooki is very much like Miss Piggy.
Millions of times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
To the point where she really believes it. Even if she didn't think she was funny before she became famous,
right.
Now she thinks
But
she's
isn't that
funny.
Crazy? But in Miss Piggy's time, she that kind of mentality was mocked, was like laughed at. And
now it's
and
celebrated.
Now, celebrate. Now like Snooki is like people do probably say she's... So then she doesn't even understand why. At least Miss Piggy, we know it's fake. She's like a fake...
She's a puppet.
Pig. She's a puppet. So like no one would really ever... act like the thought of that's why we can laugh at Miss Piggy is like, oh, she's so full of herself and like she's just like not that talented the way she sings and
yeah.
I don't think like in fact Kermit's always more I don't know they but they like do performances together but I think it's just like oh that's cool to watch because it's a pig and a frog you know it's not like they're like talented. If they were humans, even if Kermit is a kind of, like if you were a human, it'd be like, that guy's a weird, he's like a marginally talented like weirdo.
Yeah, but couldn't you say the same thing about all the other Muppets, that they're fun to watch because
exactly, yeah, no, I know,
they're like
I know.
Weird looking.
I know, but I'm saying that's why they can be so extreme, and like Miss Piggy is such an extreme character to laugh at.
Because it's absurd that someone
would behave that
like
way.
Her. Well, not only behave that way, but someone who has
no talent,
who has
like
no
marginal
performance
talent. Well, she does much. Miss Piggy's much more talented. Like, I mean, for a human, than Snooki or they can't do any. They don't do anything except like versions of themselves. Snooki's just like kind of. I guess she's good at being a version of like a shitty, hopefully shittier version of herself. Is that a talent? Maybe. They are acting.
Well, you don't really need to be... I guess the lesson is you don't need talent to entertain. Because...
Yeah, of course not. Yeah.
Because look at all... So they're entertainers.
Someone tripping is entertaining.
Yeah. Especially if they're...
I mean, if they're... Not if they're like a sweet...
like,
not if they're like a...
sweet old, like, nuns.
Paraplegic nun.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Once upon a beat! Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. We'll be right back. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.